As we come to Genesis and chapter 7 this evening, let me remind you once again of the scripture reading that we shared together out of Colossians 1, and particularly Colossians 1, verses 17 and 18. We read, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body." What is the head of your body? It's that vital center that if you remove that head, then life is extinguished. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. This evening I'm titling this message, "And God's Word Prevailed." God's Word, God's promises, took the preeminence. We also come to Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 as a reminder of how that this works out. Romans chapter 5 verse 20. "The law came in so that the transgression would increase, that there might be a conscious awareness of how that sin is sin and that it is vile dirt. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign preeminently, that it would prevail, through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Once again, an underscoring of the prevailing preeminence of the plan of our God. And one more from the New Testament. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus speaking especially to Peter, but I believe to a wider audience also. He says, "You are Peter." Peter had just made a great declaration of the person of Jesus Christ. "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock solid confession you have just made, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," hell itself, "will not overpower it. The very worst that the demons of hell might dredge up, and Satan, Lucifer, that former powerful prince of light, he would not be able to overcome it. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against what God has purposed to do." Well, as this as a background, now let us go in our ongoing study of Genesis to Genesis chapter 7. And I read this entire chapter. And keep this in mind. Keep this in your mind's eye and focus, that God's word shall prevail. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean too, a male and his female, also of the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights,
And I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made. Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, there went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts, and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Here we have the actual coming of the flood. Previously, we read in chapter 6 of how that there was the promise, God looking upon the corruption of man, and how that every intent of his heart was only evil continually. And God said, this is what I am going to do. We cross over further into chapter 8, and we find that God remembers Noah and the waters start to subside, and that is the aftermath, how that Noah and his family emerge from the ark. But here in chapter 7, we have the actual flood occurring in and of itself. And here we have something where God's judgment is not just forewarned or promised, it actually comes. Now, here is something that is vividly important for our day in which we are living. Our world has heard of the judgment of God, and some have heeded that warning, others have brushed it aside, and especially in its delay, more and more people think it will never happen. That as the sun comes up in the morning and as it goes down in the evening, so it shall ever be. This world will carry on forever and ever and ever. Amen. But here in Noah's time and in the coming of the flood, we see that God's word, what he had forewarned, did come, and that he prevailed. Now, in our time also, I hear and I read of people talking about trying to restrain evil.
They have hunkered down into an attitude that the very best that Christians and the people of God can do is to try to slow down the effects of the decay of our world, rather than forcefully moving out to regain territory. There is a defensive attitude rather than an offensive attitude. Well, I tell you that the Apostle Paul, he was not one who was just trying to slow down the decay of the Roman Empire or of the ancient Greek world. He was one who was taking light into that world, and he was forcibly pressing it, passionately persuading men and women that they would come to the light and that they would know salvation. Well, I find it distressing that people, that Christians have this mindset, have lowered their expectations that the best that can happen is simply that we hold on until Jesus comes. Lord, bless Sally, Sue, John, and me, us four, no more, and that's it. Well, God's word, it prevails. Here in the story of Noah, even as in our time, wickedness was coming in like a flood. But a standard was raised up of God saying, no, it will not prevail. My word shall prevail. My plans, my purposes for this world shall prevail. Now, in the conclusion of this chapter, whether you heard it in my voice or not, you see in verse 18, 19, 20, and 24, the word prevailed. Now, I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. Perhaps your version uses a different word, but here we have in verse 18, 19, 20, and in 24, you have the word that the water prevailed. Time and time again, all four times, the water prevailed. Now, really, it wasn't that the water prevailed. It was the water which God had sent. It wasn't there naturally of its own course. God had broken up the fountains of the great deep. He had burst them open and the floodgates of the sky. They were opened by God's specific command that what had never happened before might happen now in response to the wickedness of the people of Noah's day. Well, even though that word prevailed only takes place in the latter verses of this chapter, as you go back and read the whole chapter once again, you see that God's plan, God's intention, God's design is prevailing, that what man wants to throw at it and against God's plan, and even the very gates of hell, the very worst that the demons of hell would drudge up, that shall not prevail. God's purposes, old ancient time as well as today, they shall stand. So the Lord says to Noah, after 100 years, we suspect, of planning, of design, and of building this massive structure, the Lord says, verse 1 of chapter 7, enter the ark, you and your household, and there's going to be all of these animals that will gather in as well. Verse 5, Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Verse 6, Noah was 600 years old. He was 500 years when we really last dropped in on him. 100 years has come and gone, and a whole lot of work to prepare for this, not just the building of the structure, the ark, but the gathering in of food, of course, and along with that, untold ridicule, questions, mockery, psychologists and psychiatrists coming to visit Noah to find out what kind of crazy man he was, all wanting to examine his skull. But Noah had heard God's word, and he had this conviction, though all the world be proven a liar, God's word is true. So Noah, he and his sons, they enter the ark, verse 7. Now, here it does not specifically say, but verse 13 also, they entered the ark. And verse 16, the Lord closed it. The Lord closed it behind him. There was one door into that ark of safety. Oh, I'm sure during the means of construction, there were all kinds of access points before all of the side timbers were put in place. They could have gotten in any different way, but when the structure was complete, there was but one door that all of those animals and that those eight people alone entered through. What a picture. Jesus talked about the door, the little door, and the narrow way that leads to salvation. And he said, I'm sure with a heartbreak and with a break in his voice, few there be that find it. One door and only one. It's not Muslim goes by the way of the Quran and the Hindu goes by the way of their system and the Sikh and etc., etc. One door and only one. And the Baha'i who say that, oh, there's actually many doors, the Muslim can come their way and everybody can get along. Tragically, they are absolutely, utterly wrong, and they have misled untold millions as well. One door and only one. They go into the ark, verse 15. And verse 17, the flood that was promised, the flood that was forewarned, the flood that had never happened before, by means that never happened before, it came. 40 days, 40 nights, such a deluge that that massive wooden structure starts to shift and lift off the earth, and it rises above the earth. And we read in verse 20, the water prevailed 15 cubits higher than the peaks of the mountains. Everything was under there. And all flesh, with the breath of life in its nostrils, of course the fish, they were as happy as clams, all life in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, died. Thus he, God, blotted out every living thing. Those who mocked, they took their last breath. Those who questioned, they took their last breath. Those who thought that Noah was absolutely, utterly deranged, that he had been hearing things, that he was out of his mind, they perished because they would not come into the ark of safety. God prevailed against even the most wicked intent of every heart. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Should you ever wonder about the direction of this world, remember Noah's time. God's word shall prevail. That where sin abounded, as Paul says in Romans, grace has all the more abounded. That God shall have the final word, that his purposes, his plan, all of these things, they shall most certainly prevail. Lord, we look to your word and we see that one door. People couldn't somehow come around the backside where their neighbors wouldn't see them and try to sneak into the ark or shimmy up the side. There was just that one door and only one. And there go those eight who trusted in your promises, who attended to your word. Blessed memory of their trust in you. Lord, in the world in which we live, how sin abounds all round about us. But may we not be shaken. May we not be disturbed or unsettled by all that takes place round about us. But may we confidently see that our God is greater. Greater than even the most horrific things that hell can come up with. So, Lord, may our trust be in you in such a way that we would rest in you, that we with confidence would know that you shall have the final word, you shall have the preeminence, and may we praise you all the more. So, Lord, continue your work in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.